Welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Carol.
And I'm Maria, and this is season 8 of Sticky Pickles, the perfect suitor and mud in your face. So the perfect suitor. So I didn't know you were going to be writing a story today about my husband. I'm really intrigued to hear about
Well, yeah, you tell me, actually, if this is your husband. Interesting.
Uh-oh, no, Eric, I'm sorry.
Wait, let's circle back.
We'll circle back on that.
Okay, so Momsy has invited her daughter, Bless, for lunch.
Her name is Momsy and her daughter's name is Bless?
Well, Momsy, that's what Bless calls her.
Okay.
Bless, you know, obviously she was not thinking straight, mentioned on her last visit with Momsy that she had made a big decision, but there was some difficulty in it and talked about it. And now Momsy's invited her for lunch for a wee gas about it.
Okay.
This is a situation when you let your guard down and you start mouthing off about something too much because you're excited or you're worried or whatever. And you're doing this to the wrong person.
Oh, that pain of regret. I was like, why do I never shut up? Yep.
Exactly. So now she's like done that and now she has to go face it. And in this case, with Momsy, is that she just gets a little over-enthused, which can be utterly exhausting, but also kind of adorable because she's a cutie, right? She's this like rich, eccentric, fun Momsy. She's now in her like mid-50s, divorced 3 times, but lives in this sprawling home. Maria, can you imagine?
And can you imagine?
And it's stuffed with things like art and Indian rugs and artifacts from her travels and statues, a gong, a Buddha. There's even a fountain, Maria, in the entrance where she insists.
Is it a chocolate fountain?
No, all our guests have to wash their hands and feet before entering your home because she read somewhere that was a cool thing.
One must abluge before entering the abode. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, so Bliss enters the parlor, ablutes her extremities, everything's duly scrubbed, and sees Momsy lying on the chaise longue, wrapped up in her kaftan, right, feet in the air.
Where did you get this picture of me, girl? My chaise longue and my kaftan, yes.
And Mommy, like, says, I get up, but, and then shakes her freshly painted toenails at her.
I am lacquered.
So Momsy says, come, stuff your face. I've had the most brilliant idea. Ria, our chat last week. So Bless inwardly rolls her eyes because she does love Momsy. And she sits down on the tasseled poof near the coffee table and picks up a lukewarm egg roll and stuffs it into the ketchup from the crystal bowl, right?
These details, Carol, these details are painting me such a picture of my future self. Minus hopefully the being divorced part, but me at 50, that's going to be
thrice,
me.
Thrice
divorced. Yes, that's my, you know that this is who I want to be and when I hit 50. Like that's, if I don't have a chaise longue at 50, please correct that.
So Mommy says, now listen, darling, last week you said you wanted a baby. See, that's the news that Bless had talked about, right?
Uh-oh.
And why not? You're 29, financially secure. You have me, your Momsy, who is dying for some young blood around here, she says.
What? Dying for some young blood? to inject.
She's eccentric.
To inject via IV because I've heard it's a great youth brightening serum. Baby blood.
And it's true, right? It's true. Bless is ready to be a mom. And this was the big TMI issue, was that she was having trouble on deciding on a partner. Like, does she go the IVF route? Does she ask a good friend? All this stuff.
Yep.
You know, no one's measuring up. Like, everyone's like, oh, he's great, but there's all these buts. And this is what she'd shared last week, right? So Momsy goes, don't worry, I have an idea. But first, let's make sure I've got this right. Quiz time. Do you want a father who is a good man? So I mean by that, kind, loving, funny, smart, charitable? And Bless is like, ideally, yeah, you know, I mean, who doesn't? And she's like, of course you do. Of course you do. She says, do you want a father who will be involved in the child's life? And this is something she hadn't thought about, really. But she's like, yeah, I suppose, like, you know, she's thinking that'd be nice. Finally, do you want a father whose background you can look into to make sure there are no red flags? And this is her Achilles heel, because if she goes down the IVF route, she'll see all that stuff, like, you know, health stuff and whatever. But if you go with a friend, you don't know, right? It depends how much you know that friend.
True. Okay. Yeah. I'm like, who could...
She's like, ideally, I would like to know. Momsy's all over this. She's like, that is three ideallys. What if I knew the exact right person that would fit this description?
Okay.
Telling you, Momsy knows a lot of people because that's what she does, right?
Of course. You don't get a caftan chaise long personality if you don't know everybody.
Right? She cha lattes with people. She like group meditates.
Oh, yeah. She's totally an introvert. Yeah.
She hosts gatherings.
Gathering. Salons in her salon.
Her social secret, right? And Bless knows this as well, is her trusty diary, right? It lists all the people of interest.
Oh, she keeps notes on her connections. Oh, people do that, don't they? I don't do that.
No, I don't either, but it's kind of smart, right? So the inside, there's like who they're married to, sleeping with, or having suspected to have had an affair with.
Okay, that's dangerous. That's dangerous.
There's birthdays, there's children, there's pets, there's STDs. Like, it's a cornucopia of factoids.
and all of, and the, she's, I'm sure, writing this by hand, whereas the rest of us would put it in just Apple Contacts and just like, oh, yeah. I see that Bob is calling. Bob syphilis. Oh, right. Oh, wait. Oh, wait.
Mine's like Jeff, 5 out of 10.
Hey, Jeff, 5 out of 10. I mean, Jeff.
So Momsy is holding the diary now, right? And she's flipping dramatically through the pages for effect. And Momsy goes, here, got it, right? And hands the diary open at the page for Bless, right? And Bless just looks and goes, Paul? And Momsy goes, shut up. Do you think he'd be a great fucking dad? And Bless goes, yeah. He would. He is a great guy. And do you think he's age appropriate? He's 14 years older than you. Do you think that's appropriate? And she's like, it's fine. You know, like some of her friends have people 15 years. It's in the same generation, she thinks. She's like, yeah. And do you think he's a physically beautiful specimen? I mean, imagine the baby with those eyes, says the mom.
Like it's a guarantee that you'll get that, but okay.
I know, but come on. If someone has a beautiful feature, you gotta pray.
Unfortunately,
right?
I wanted my daughter to get my eyes, and instead she got my crippling anxiety. So, you know.
You can't always choose.
You cannot always choose.
And then mom says, but do you truly like and trust him as a person? And Bless nods, because she knows this person. She knows Paul would be the perfect father material, except for two things. One, Paul has always said he never wanted kids. Bit of a problem. The other thing, Paul was Momsy's second husband for 6 years.
Ew! That stepdad. No, absolutely not. Girl, are we flirting with incest here? This is gross.
But it's not incest. It's not Bless's dad.
But no.
And mom had cheated on him, right? And left him and then apologized after she left, you know, the husband number three. And they've been friends ever since. And he's always been amazing to Bless.
Like in a paternal way, I'm sure.
Yes, when she was a teenager to when she got to her 20s.
Ew, no. No, 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 no.
Well, maybe no. Bless agrees because she says, Momsy, I'm not putting my vagine anywhere near a rod you've slid on. Right?
Gross. just,
and mom's just like, for heaven's sakes, you came out of my vagine. And if you're prudish, use a turkey baster. I don't care. He's the perfect suitor.
No.
And you know it.
No. No. This, the, no. No. No, no, no. That, like,
she adds.
There's more? Okay. Yes.
No, she's like, you know, I always wanted to have kids with Paul, but he was never ready. He was much younger than me. And now I'm menopausal. I can't have kids, but I always wanted one with our genetics intertwined. What a beautiful baby we would make. And now it's the next best thing.
Gross.
You can do it.
Gross.
And what an amazing
gross.
Dad.
Gross. Gross, 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 gross.
But like, he would be. How many people do you meet who has everything except for the stepdad?
Don't care. Gross. Don't care. It's gross. Like that. My brain just absolutely cannot. No. No, no, no. Like, dating someone's ex-boyfriend, that is weird enough alone. Dating your mother's ex-husband? Oh, my God!
Everyone who's dating is dating someone's ex, you know?
No, but, like, a friend's ex, you
oh,
know?
Oh, okay. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Yeah, dating, like, a friend's ex, that's always awkward as hell. I mean, people do it, but it's just, like, you've got to tread carefully.
Yeah.
But sleeping with even no strings attached just for genetics...
Turkey baster. You'd just be a dad to your kid. You'd be co-parenting.
Yeah, but it's like my dad is also my grandpa. Like, come on. That's weird. That's gross.
He's not really. He was just husband number two. Stop being dramatic.
I'm going to be dramatic because this is weird and gross. This is weird and gross. And what mother would suggest this?
Okay, so when I ask you, what are you going to do now? Is it like run?
If he was so great, why did you divorce him? Why was Paul not good enough for her? Why did she cheat on Paul? Like,
yes. Well, Bless just says, look, Paul said he always wanted no kids, so this is all stupid, right? Because that's what he said. He never wanted kids.
Wow, she's taking this real calm, because I'd be like, ah, gross.
And then Momsy just says, isn't a man allowed to change his mind? As I pitched this idea to him just yesterday... He said he would be thrilled.
No!
He was so flattered and thought you would be an exquisite partner, Bless.
No! This is so gross, weird, and wrong. No!
He'll be here in 10 minutes to discuss.
No! Get out of there! Run out the door directly. Do not stop. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Just get out. Get out. This is creepy weird.
Can I tell you where I got this story idea from?
Oh, please don't tell me from your real life. Please not from your
no,
real life. Okay.
No.
Oh my God.
Not from my real life. I'm listening currently to Carrie Fisher's Wistful Drinking. And apparently her mom, her famous mom, right? What's her name? Debbie Reynolds?
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, go on. Have a kid with my third husband because his beautiful eyes.
And what did Carrie Fisher say?
She was saying how bonkers her mom was. And this was one of the examples of her bonkerness. And I thought,
yes!
You know what? I'm going to make that into a story.
That's. I'm so glad I'm on the same wavelength as the great Carrie Fisher of being like, that is so fucking crazy. Why would you ever suggest that to your kid? Okay. Woo, because I was like, don't tell me you're like, actually, this is the story of how I was born. I was like, oh my God, no. Like,
your turn, beautiful mud in your face. Tell me you're sticky, Maria.
So we have Hank, who is in his mid-30s. He's been single for quite a while, and he really doesn't want to be. Hank has been looking to settle down with his dream man for quite some time, and he's dated quite a bit, played the field, had some fun, but he really wants like that magical long-term relationship where he can really just relax. So he does what everybody does, and he's been on the apps a-swiping.
Left, 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 right, left, left.
Yeah. Like, he's having fun, but not finding that long-term person, right? And the thing that makes this, I think, a little harder for Hank is that he's in his mid-30s and still doesn't really know who he is. And I'm not saying you have to know who you are by your mid-30s. I am beyond that age and still don't know who the hell I am. But I'm just saying, it just makes things harder. Because people often, when you're dating, they kind of want like a high level, like, what kind of person are you? You know, are you nerdy? Are you sporty? Are you arty? Are you drinky? Are you, you know, like they kind of want to classify you really easily like that. Are you an active type? And Hank is really all over the place. Goes on these first dates for like speed dating. And yeah. People are trying to get a sense, like, are you a power broker type? Are you the type who's like always out doing extreme marathons? Are you like a corporate climber? Are you? He's none of those. He's like, I'm just a normal guy.
Yeah.
Like, trying to live an interesting life, trying to find somebody to share it with. Why is this so hard?
That's a really hard period. And some people get stuck in it perpetually.
Yeah. Yes, they do. And it's a damn shame. And it's harder with the apps because you get like a second. You get a picture and that picture has to sum up who you are. And how do you sum up like normal guy with a well-rounded amount of interest in your life in like a single photo? You can't just hold up a fish to the camera and smile. Like it's not a good enough summary of who Hank is.
Yeah.
But he keeps trying. Hank eventually swipes on this guy named Jason. Now, Jason, incredible body, like just a specimen, okay? Jason is very easy to classify one-dimensionally. He's sporty. Seems very nice, but like this guy, he is always either out for a run, playing one of his like rugby team, soccer team. He loves being active. His weekends are filled with mountain hikes, long bike rides, kayaking, surfing, you name it.
So not a reader. There's no bookcase in his house.
But Jason was not looking for someone exactly like him. Jason was a little more open-minded. He wants somebody who can keep up with him, but he doesn't want like a clone of himself. So he's giving Hank a shot, and Hank is completely fascinated by Jason because Jason in many ways is like his opposite, someone who knows exactly who he is.
Yeah.
Hank cannot imagine what that must be like, and he wants to know someone like that. So this is a bit of an opposite attract situation.
Yeah, but it's beautiful. I'm kind of loving it. It's a cute meet cute.
It is a nice meet cute. It's an app meet cute, but like both two open-minded people who are like, you're very different from me, but like, I think you might work really well in my life. So after, you know, they've been dating for like 2 months. So they're at that point where they're starting to get a little more serious, but they're not like super serious. So they're still trying to get to know each other a lot better. And Hank had been mentioning sort of his self-consciousness around this, that he's trying to be vulnerable to Jason and sort of let him in a little bit. And Jason's well, like, I understand that, you know, you want to be sort of with me on the weekends and understand a bit more of my world. So how about this? I've got a really cool event coming up that, you know, I've signed up for it. It, you know, the signups are still open. So why don't you join me for this? And you can get a sense of like the things that I really like to do for fun that, you know, you and I haven't shared until now, but maybe you'll really like it.
My question would be like, sounds fascinating. What's the activity exactly?
And Jason's like, I'll send you a link. Let me just send it to you. Here's the link. And Hank looks at the website and it's called the Punishing Penance Pit. And the pictures are all of these huge, muscular, military looking dudes covered in mud and other fluids, but presumably mud. Nobody looks like they're having a good time. Everyone's face is like this rictus of pain. Just like, yeah. They are going through the worst moments of their life for fun.
Yeah. I have a friend who does this. It's like army, I don't know, like obstacle course hilarity.
Yes. Hank is noticing that the subtitle for this website, like the events, you know, tagline is stomp it out, fight it out, sweat it out, bleed it out. And like I feel like the blood just drains from his face. Jason had never really indicated that much that this was the caliber of thing he was interested in addition to all his other sporty things.
Yeah, he kind of pitched it low, right? He was like, hey, join me on this thing. Like, yeah.
He did pitch it low. This like, oh, this little old thing, right? Where, you know, basically people can die of a heart attack because it's that intense.
Yeah.
I really want to impress Jason. I want this to work. So he starts to bluster a little bit like, well, yeah. I mean, you know, I remember doing something like this when this was, I remember when these were really big, like 10 years ago, I did one of these with my work colleagues like 10 years ago. It was no problem at all. We had a great time. What Hank's not saying is that is true that he did it, but he hated every fucking second of it. And the other thing he didn't mention that was also like 40 pounds ago. So. 10 years and 40 pounds ago. So there's a lot of information being left on the table that Hank is doing. And he's like, oh, yeah, it sounds great. And he hits the sign up button. And
okay, so Hank signs up.
Hank signs up in front of Jason being like, this sounds great. It's been a while, but I'm looking forward to trying this again. And Hank has signed up for this event. And Jason's really excited. And Hank is going, you know, it's 2 months until this event. He's doing the math in his head. The event's 2 months away. And Hank's not in, like, terrible shape. I mean, he's heavier than he would like, but he's not, like, morbidly obese. He's just got some extra. He's got a spare tire. You know, in 2 months, I could probably maybe get in good enough shape for this.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, Hank, they're not keeping close tabs on each other. It's not like, you know, when you're married, you can see whether or not your spouse is leaving the house for a jog.
Yeah.
Jason is taking Hank's word for it when they, you know, text him during the week, like, yeah, hey, I just went for a great run, says Jason. It's like a nice, you know, 15-mile jog. Feeling great, getting ready for the punishing penance pit. How about you? And Hank's like, yeah, work's been a little crazy, but I'll definitely get a good run in later on tonight. And you know what happens. You sit on the couch after work and suddenly it's 6 a.m. the next morning. So training's not going super well for Hank, and the weeks are passing and the punishing penance pit is coming up.
Yeah.
2 weeks and
he's done fuck all.
Hank has done basically nothing to train for this.
Yeah.
And Hank has not come clean to Jason either. He's been sort of like, yeah, I've been fitting things in while I can. And so at one point, 2 weeks before the race, Jason's like, well, you know, according to my training schedule, we don't want to do anything too intense the week before because we need recovery mode, like active recovery. But 2 weeks before, we should be definitely doing like our maximum training. So we don't want to do the full out effort that we're going to be doing during the penance pit, but maybe something pretty close. So why don't we do it together? I think this would be a great time to just like, like a good bonding experience for us. Like it'd be a fun date. Hank's like, yeah, let's do it. So they go for a 25-mile run.
Okay, Hank must have been nervous at this point, knowing that he'd done fuck all. Like, I would be. I'd be like, okay, meet you there. Fuck, fuck, fuckity, fuck, fuck.
Yep. And Jason shows up for this 25-mile run with, like, a 80-pound backpack that he's going to be carrying on his back for this whole thing. Now, 25 miles is basically a marathon. That's a marathon length. Now, they're not trying to run it as fast as they can, but it's a long fucking run. And Jason is doing it with, you know, a rucksack on his back. So he's doing this extreme thing. And Hank's like, you know, I don't think I'm going to do the rucking part of this, but I'll definitely do the run. And Hank makes it maybe halfway before he just is like, I'm dead. I'm done. I cannot go any further.
Yeah. He's run 8 miles, right?
And he's like, you know what, Jason, I'll have to just meet you. Go on without me. I just had too much to drink last night. I'm really feeling it. I think it's just not sitting well in my stomach. Like, I'm just having some GI issues. I'm sorry. This is not going to happen to me on day of. But, like, right now, I just, like, just my whole GI system is just messed up right now. I just need some time. And Jason's like, oh, yeah, of course. Like, I completely understand. Like, we all have our off days. So Jason goes ahead and rucks the rest of his 25 miles with his 80-pound backpack on. And, of course, he crushes it. Hank, at 8 miles, is, like, gassed. Cannot go any further, freaking out mentally because he made up that whole story about the GI issues. He was fine. He just had absolutely nothing left in the tank. And he's like, I bet Jason can tell. Like, he could probably tell, like, how red in the face I was and how out of breath and panting I was. And I'm sure, like, he's just helping me save face. He's just feeling really terrible.
Well, Hank, you're feeling terrible because you lied your butt off and you didn't do any of the work. And now you're screwed and you feel guilty and probably shame for misleading Jason, right?
Yep. So we're a day before the punishing penance pit and Jason's texting Hank about how excited he is for the next day. And he's like, well, you know, I thought I would just take it upon myself since this is actually the 10th time I'm doing this event. So my parents are actually going to be at the finish line for the punishing penance pit. And I thought it'd be a great time for them to meet you since they haven't met you yet and we're getting pretty serious. So you are Hank right now. It is the night before the punishing penance pit. Your potential one day, if all things continue to go nicely, in-laws, who you have not yet met, are going to be at the finish line of this event that you absolutely cannot have a prayer of completing. What are you going to do?
So I'm a little radical, but I think the only way you can get out of this and save face, because you've been lying the whole time,
yes,
right? You've been basically saying I'm into all this and you're not, is to feign an injury. You got to feign an injury and be at the finish line. Like, and it has to be on your foot. Like, you can't, I mean, I suppose if you stabbed yourself in the eye, but that's pretty extreme. probably fake your way through a broken foot or like a sprained ankle or something.
Yes, you could. Yeah, that's not a bad idea. I was going to say, jokingly, sorry, diarrhea. But, you know, he actually used that one earlier. His like his GI issues. He literally sorry, diarrhea'd his way out of that jog.
You can't use it twice, though.
So you can't do it again. You can't. Otherwise, he's going to be like, you need specialist help. Yeah, an injury is a good one. There's also the excuse du jour that a lot of people have been using that I'm sometimes a little suspicious of. The timing, it's always like day before. It's like, oh, sorry, I've got COVID. Picture of the testing strip. You're like, is that actually your hand holding that? Or so Hank's thinking about it, but he's like, that also feels really scummy. And that doesn't feel like a good way to start this relationship. So Hank, bless him, decides that he's going to just try and soldier through. He's like, whatever happens, happens. I'm going to show up because I really want to impress Jason. I feel like the most important thing I could do is to be there and at least try it, even if I make an ass of myself. Pretty predictably, Jason crushes this fucking thing. Hank doesn't even make it past the first obstacle course. He face plants in this big thing of mud after running up the side of basically a mountain, or it's a hill, but it feels like a mountain. And he's just like, nope, no, I'm done. Everything hurts. I'm out. I'm sorry. He just walks his way over and he sees two people holding up a sign like, let's go, Jason. He introduces himself. Hi, I'm Hank. Jason and I are dating. And they're like, oh, we've heard so much about you, Hank. Nice to see you. How did you do? And Hank, with a good sense of humor, just tells him like, I did not do super great. But, you know, I at least showed up and I tried. I wanted to be supportive of Jason.
Oh, now he's acting all grown up. Okay.
And the parents were like, we get it. We've been through it. So it's all like in very, like they all seem to really understand each other, which is nice. It doesn't have to be that way. Like the parents could have been assholes, but they were like, no, we get it. So all three of them are on the sidelines cheering for Jason. In the distance, Hank sees a couple, a totally unrelated couple at the finish line proposing to each other because people get their adrenaline all high at these events. So often like marriage proposals happen like with an alarming degree. Like we saw some at the Olympics, right?
It's amazing. I know. Incredible.
And Hank's just standing there covered in mud being like, this event is not for me. If the person I'm dating is really into this and wants me to join him, this is not going to work out.
But I don't know. Okay, I hear you. But I don't think he's given a Jason a chance really to say, look, I'm not actually into this stuff as much as you are, which is great. You go, you do you. I'll do me.
Yeah, I think that honesty would be very required, but because this experience hopefully teaches him, like, you just got to be honest, like, I cannot do that. And if that's a necessity for you, then we will not be a long-term thing, and we're having fun now, and right. That's fine. Hank having that moment of, I've been trying to impress this guy so hard that I lied repeatedly, and I cannot keep up with him, then it's going to have to be okay that we're not meant to be like that. And, like, you know, whatever. I'll be all right.
I'll be all right.
You'll be all right, Hank. You'll be all right. Just be honest. For God's sakes, just be honest.
That's it for this week's Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say. Get off your butts and review.
Yes, get off your butts and review. And we have a Patreon. Thank you so much to all of our Patreon patrons, everyone who supports us and leaves us a little tip in the tip jar. Really appreciate it. It's just $3. That's it. $3 gets you our gratitude and you're supporting our show. And also, we don't run ads in the show, so isn't that nice? So it's patreon.com/stickypickles. Thank you so much for your support. And you can get in touch with us on Instagram @stickypicklespod and anything else you could ever want in your life ever of any kind for any reason. It's at stickypickles.com.
See you in a few weeks!